Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
I just wanted to really quickly go over what we're going to be talking about today. The topic of this is expectation management. And I find that to be something very interesting when it comes into business, especially in technology, especially with every aspect of our life. Parenting, your jobs, your personal life, whatever it is. We're always in the habit of trying to get people to understand what's going to happen, why it's going to happen, but being realistic about it. So in covering this, I'm just going to talk a couple of minutes about myself, let you know who's actually on the stage talking, and then talk about the big questions about expectation management. Now, I will preface that for the rest of this presentation, we're not going to call it expectation management. We're going to call it M. Let me hear everyone say, M. Now, see, that sounds like a groan. Give me a good M. One, two, three.
M.
Okay, thank you. So what that is, though, is a way for us to manage your expectations right now about what we're doing, about what the words I'm going to use, the actions I'm going to portray, what I want you to walk out of this presentation knowing. So once again, my name is Tony Pagliacco. I currently live here in Federal Way, Washington. I have been in the industry for about 20 years. I spent the first part of my career working in the software development side of things. And then from about 2007 onwards, I've been working in the product game. When I'm not at ProductCon giving presentations, I work for Boeing. I manage a team of 23 product managers where we work in the analytics and information management team. We do mostly a lot of software based around machine learning, artificial intelligence, and how that works with our supply chain, our manufacturing, and many other areas of value for Boeing. Being an East Coast guy, I grew up in Boston, and I ended up going to Arizona State where I got a degree in computer science. Originally, I was going to be a wrestling coach, but I think I made the right choice right now. After that, I got right into the game with software, learning about how to code, how to program, putting things out to production, working in the startup life, and then eventually ended up working for a women's media company called She Knows. And that's where I eventually started taking control of the product versus actually building it. I explain that to people when they say, what's the difference? And I say, that's the difference between when you're at a restaurant and the cooks are in the back actually making the food, but you're in the front picking the menu and deciding what bread to use on the hamburger. That's how I explain the difference between how product fits into the entire tech stack. It's also how I explained it to my mom, too, so it worked out for me. After there, I went to Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by Hasbro. I was the senior product manager in charge of competitive gaming and esports. And it was really a good opportunity there because, number one, it brought me to Washington. And second of all, it was being able to work on delivering an experience at the global level for a game that's played by millions across the world. So if you want a crash course in expectation management, get into gaming and you will find out very quickly how well-accepted change can be sometimes. Right now, like I said, I'm at Boeing, but the good side of that is that it's not only that I'm working for a fantastic company, it's not only I'm working for a company that's trying to champion the product mindset, it's that I am blessed to have actually one of the most elite teams I've ever worked with in my career. I know some of those people are out here today, and I thank you for being here and thank you for understanding that. So when we look at expectation management, we want to talk about a few different areas. We want to talk about the what, the who and why, the when, the how. Now, those are pretty basic things that we talk about probably all the time. But you have to truly understand, what is expectation management? What are you trying to accomplish? With who? Because when you're in different companies have different setups. There's not a one-size-fits-all, and we all know that here, being in this industry. But you also have to know the right times for when to manage someone's expectations. You have to know that you have to understand how your voice, how your mentality, your attitude is being perceived. These are all the things that go into the recipe of expectation management. But you can do this till the cows come home, till you're blue in the face, but if you don't execute and know the simple strategies of how to manage somebody's expectations, you're gonna find yourself in a circular, in a pit that's just gonna never let you out. And that's one of the most critical parts is you can get all the stuff ahead of time, but you still have to deliver at the end, which is very similar to what we do as product managers. You can't base your life on other people's expectations. As you can see, Stevie Wonder said that, but it resonates with me because when you start allowing someone else to dictate the story, when you start allowing someone else to take control of your product and make the decisions for you, you're walking into this trap. You're basing what's going to happen on someone else's expectation. And that's one thing I find pretty funny because that should never happen because as product managers, we are the ones that tell the story. We are the ones that draw the picture. We are the ones that make sure you understand and interpret and are able to convey that message to other people. So the reason why I put this quote in is because I wanted you to be able to think about it and understand that when you're dealing with things at work, ask yourself, am I dictating the conversation? Am I drawing the picture or someone else? Am I letting them set the expectations and then I'm putting the polish on top of it? Because that's something I see all the time. You'll be in a conversation with somebody and you think you're telling them what's up, but then it turns out after the fact they're really telling you what's up. So always keep focus on that. Make sure you're the one who's steering that. This is the person that when you look at expectation management, you have something going out to production and you tell them, look, there's probably gonna be some hiccups as we get the system squared away, and you make them very clear of all the possibilities that could come out. Now, one of those will eventually hit, and of course, this guy shows up ready to rock. We want to try and balance that out. We need to tame this person and get them to understand that they're playing sort of by our rules. But looking at that from like what is expectation management, it boils down to being able to draw a picture for your, I call it a target, maybe it's the gamer in me, but your target of opportunity. An example of that would be though is that when you tell your client, your customer, your whoever it is, bad news, and they don't take it out on you, that's actually a massive win for expectation management. It means you're very, very good at it because you're being authentic and you're painting that picture that's gonna be of what's gonna happen and what's not gonna happen. But when you're looking at expectation management, you have to visualize the message and try and be empathetic to hear it yourself. Because if you don't, you're gonna be leaving yourself up for opportunity to get misinterpreted about 900 different ways, and you're gonna end up with a ton more headaches than you really wanted. Think of it in this term, this is something I tell friends of mine, I call it being front page ready. One of the great things about my team is that we have an understanding, is that we value commitment, and we value commitment to manage expectations. So when someone on my team gives me a commitment, we have the understanding that I can take that directly to our CIO, and I can take it right to the top. I can put it on the front page of CNN, and they say, well, why would you do that? And I tell them point blank is that it's not the matter I'm trying to put you on blast, it's a matter of our commitments are so strong to each other that when we tell someone that someone's committed to it, on at least on my team, it's going to get delivered. That's us managing the expectations through our actions. So when you imagine that about whatever you're telling somebody in terms of like, and when you're trying to manage someone's expectations, are you comfortable with seeing that on the front page of a website, a CNN, a medium.com, whatever you want? Because you're essentially making the statement that they're gonna take to their heads, their bosses, maybe all the way up to the CEO. But now that we've talked about what expectation management is, who are we supposed to manage? Whose expectations are we supposed to manage? It would have been very easy for me to come up here and say, you know what, we're gonna take about 10 minutes, I'm gonna cover A, B, and C, and then we're gonna be done. Now, mind you, we're gonna go much deeper than that, but I manage your expectations at a very low level. That's not the way to do it. I'm looking at that though because you're my audience. When you're at work, when you're on the job, on a project, whatever it is, you need to be able to identify who you have to target with expectation management. In most cases, it's your customer, because you have to keep that communication line open with them to make sure that there's that transparency going both ways. But it could be a bunch of other people too. It could be your manager, your director, your dev team, could be your other product managers, depending if you have something that's due and there's another piece of work that's dependent on what you're working on. You have to manage those expectations so there's honesty throughout that whole stream. But at some point, you have to also look at expectation management on yourself as well. You have to take a gut check sometimes and say, am I thinking too aggressively? Am I being realistic? Is what I'm promising everyone actually going to be there? So know who you're managing for. Know whose expectations, because you're not only managing that person's expectations, you're also managing it to everyone they know as well, everyone that they may talk to. And it reminds me of, for some reason, I just got it into my head now when, you know, stray dog, you know, gives you a kiss and someone's, oh, don't, that dog, you don't know who that dog's kissed before. Sort of the same thing. It's like when you tell your customer that there's something that's there to manage, they're going to go tell their boss, they're going to go tell their clients, their customers, because we're making that commitment. So why do we manage expectations? What's the benefit to it? In earlier talks that I've given, and I'll take 2 minutes on this real quick, it's something that I call like newbie credits. When you're a new product manager at a new company, you get what I call newbie credits, which means that you're allowed to make a bunch of mistakes, and purposefully or not, under the impression of saying, oh, I didn't know, I'm new, I'm so sorry. They will cut you slack every time, probably for your first month, if that's your excuse. Want to move people's desks? Go right ahead. Newbie credits will pay for it. But once you get past that and you're broken into the company a little bit, I still use that same principle, and I call it like the product management black card, the gold card, your credit card. Because when you're managing the expectations of a customer or your boss or whoever, with each success, with each good opportunity for that to happen, you're building a level of credit with that person, because something is eventually going to go wrong. Something will eventually fail that you didn't plan for, whatever that may be. Having that relationship of solid expectation management is going to dig you out of that hole. It's going to help you help your customer go, you know what, for the last 30 releases, things have been smooth. This is the first one. I've never felt in the dark. I've always felt like I've been treated with empathy and respect. We're going to cut them a slack. Yeah, go do what you need to do. I almost value this credit rating as much as my personal one, because both of them get me out of a lot of trouble. Looking at it, though, from a perspective of why expectation management, it's because we need more of these values in the workplace, these values of your team having unity, okay, being honest with each other and your customer, having integrity in your actions, and using those three to be an excellent leader for your team. You know, a good product manager masters the art of empathy. I actually regret writing that now, because I actually feel that it's a great product manager masters the art of empathy. A good product manager understands to be empathetic. And you have to feel that, is that when you're talking to a customer, a client, whoever that may be, take a minute and think about the pressures that they may have on their plate. Think about who they work with. Think about the stresses that maybe they're having up there. Use that information to craft how you deliver your expectations to the client or whoever it is. If you don't take that 5 minutes and just value it like that, that leaves a lot of room for misinterpretation. It can also cause a cloudy haze in a way of where you know what you're talking about, you think you're on the same page, but when it turns out, you're miles apart. Crystal clear communication is what's needed, but in an empathetic manner. The when is, you can never start too early. You can never, from the very first meeting, from the very first interaction, you should be thinking about how you're going to, down the road, manage their expectations in a desperate time, a good time, a bad time, whatever it is. Because if you're not planning that far down the road, if you're just in, oh, I got my roadmap and I'm checking these boxes and we have a backlog, yay, you know what? Everyone else does too. You need to look down the road and say, okay, what's going to happen when we go to this release that's in December? How close is it to Christmas? Are people going to be in the office? Is there someone going on vacation? You need to look at all those things so you can properly build the scope of how to manage those expectations. If we talk with a client and say, you know, oh, we're going to be good in December, you know, we'll get this out the door the second week of December because you're in February. Your team's done all the due diligence, so it's okay to do that. But then you forgot about all these other things. And then it comes down to, oh, we've got these two people on vacation. This person's doing this. This person's doing that. The customer who remembers your exact words in February is going to go, but I thought we were good. And then where are you? You've just taken a big hit to your credit rating. If you wait longer to build that relationship, to manage expectations, it's going to come off as unauthentic to a degree, in my eyes, in my opinion. We may differ in opinion on there. That's perfectly fine. And that's part of the beauty of being in product management, is that we can agree, we can disagree. Usually, we all agree on the same end game. We all want to deliver an experience of value and greatness to the customer. How we get there, though, that's where we differ sometimes. But the one constant there is that if you wait too long to create that relationship, to create that the expectation management for them, it's going to look like you're just trying to get bonus points halfway through the project. You set it early, you take care of it, you set it and forget it. Look at your roadmap. You know, analyze what you're doing, sort of like a content calendar. Figure out at what points, like, okay, we're meeting the customer on Monday, so about a week and a half from now, we'll probably see if he wants to grab lunch. Maybe we can talk a little bit about future goals and visions. And maybe a month later from now, I'll reach back and we can have our first demo. And, you know, think of it in terms of laying it out, like add it as an addendum to your product roadmap. Because as product managers, we harness so many great disciplines into one job, okay? And one of those is those on the business side. It's being able to sell our functionality, sell our future, sell our vision to get people excited about what we're giving them. Anyone can do another Me Too product where it's just like, oh, we did this. Yeah, we did this too. But when you can get the customer excited, it's amazing. So don't wait too long. You know, the longer it goes, the more chance for erosion. Just keep it real. Just be honest. If things look good, great. If things look bad, you know what? It's not easy to have those conversations. Suck it up and do it, because we all have to do it at one point. So now when we talk about the how of M. You know, I said it before, keep it real. If things look good, you got great news. That's good. But think about the possibilities. Think of it like a flow chart in your mind, like a mind map that just spreads out. I'm talking to the customer, we're releasing on Friday. If things go good, I'll give them a call around 5 p.m. and check out how the analytics look. We'll see how the initial feedback is. If things go bad in the first part of the launch, then we're gonna have this mitigation plan and figure out what to talk. And then after you map that all out in your head, just pick one or two points about it. Pick one or two things to be able to tell your customer or whoever you're talking to of what really is on the table. As we said earlier, don't get talked into what the expectations should be. You should be the one setting the expectations. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be on each and every one of you, on the success or failure of that management. Also, don't make decisions on timelines for people who, if you're not doing the work, don't make the timeline. Okay? One thing I brought with every one of my teams that I've worked with and I've brought to is I tell them straight out, I will never, ever make an estimate for you. If I am not doing the work, I will not speak for my team in that aspect. Make sure not to do that here, because the minute you do that, you are going down a slippery slope, you lose the trust of your team, and then if that doesn't get delivered, you lose the trust of the customer. Always let the people who are doing the work make the estimates. So it really breaks down into a simple set of strategies. Okay? Prioritize what you need to manage first on the expectation level. Is it a feature? Is it a release? Is it money? What is it? But understand the most important parts of what you have to manage first. Have the data. Have the data ready. Do the research. Show them what could happen if things go good, if things go bad. Show them the possibilities. Don't leave anything to the imagination. Delivery. This is what we do. We deliver experiences. We deliver the best products in the world. As long as we keep doing that, we continue to build that trust. Communication. Honest, clear, simple communication. That is the most critical part of what we need to be able to do if we're going to have positive expectation management. They want you to make the call, so make it. That was said by Tony Pagliacco. I have always wanted to have a quote on stage before, and it just seemed like this was my presentation. I guess I could do it, so cheers to me. But in reality, though, this is great, though, because it's like a lot of times the people who work above you, for the most part, and I'm going to be very careful saying this because I'm not sure who's exactly out there, they're expecting you to take that by the horns and make the decision good or bad. We were playing a game last night when we were at the speaker's dinner, and we were sort of testing scenarios and stuff, and it was like, you know, what's your answer? And then you gave the answer, and it was, defend it. And then within a minute, talking to someone else, going, do you agree or disagree? And at the end of that game, they said, well, you know, the reason why you have to make that decision quickly is because, and then we all said in unison, we're product managers. And that's exactly the I would love for you to take this away with you, is that people get hesitant to make decisions. Sometimes people are really scared to like make that final call because they know what's on the line. Give me someone who will make that call and face failure head on and not be afraid, I'll take them. I'll take them all day. But no one's actually gonna explicitly tell you that you're responsible for the decision. You have to go out there and take it and say, this is my product, I want the best for my customers, and this is how we're gonna do it.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.